Yes, indeed. We're all about the next generation, and welcome elementary to the room. We thought, why not, if we're talking about the next generation, have elementary students in here with us today. So if you're a guest with us, we normally have them have their own kids' church, which you'll hear me talk about during today. But I figured we'd bring them in, which is a risk for me, actually. The last time I did anything remotely like kids-oriented was on a missions trip in Honduras. And I would get up and I would juggle and I would do this little like kids deal. And after about two of them, my wife, Dana, who's usually in with elementary and in with preschool today, she said, let me do it. I was that bad. I was awful. I would do illustrations with kids and it would share stuff. And they were just kind of looking at me like, I don't know. I think I relate better to those who've gone through a little more life because of my illustrations. Anyway, that said, your kids are not at risk today. I have typed out notes and stuff. So as long as I stay to them, I won't say any bad words that they'll learn. No, I'm just kidding. Just tell them. You're like, what kind of church is this? You heard me quote a passage on that little short blip there from the skate park down at Allen York Park. We are truly all about the next generation here. And I kind of want to describe what that looks like, because in the early phase of a church, you're like, well, you know, we're young. Everybody's new. What does it look like to be all about the next generation? And I think we can learn what it looks like to be all about the next generation from this passage. And it's in all the Gospels, but let's grab the one in Luke 18, 15 through 17. It's in your notes. And by the way, there are fill-ins for the message. So those of you that are the fill-in type, you could be filling in. Or those of you that are easily distracted, you know, learn better when you're drawing or doing something else, yeah, we have a fill-in crossword kind of puzzle deal on the back, and all the answers will be given through the scriptures and stuff today, so you have to pay close attention. I don't have a cheat answer sheet, because if you're like me, you'd use that to fill it in, but anyway, Luke 18, 15 through 17 says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them, but Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Will never enter it. I want to unpack this a little bit today, because I think that we live in a world that would quickly, without a positive influence on this generation, would hinder this generation from becoming all that they could be. They would be introduced to things that would darken their world instead of brighten it. And we believe that it's our role to remove the barriers of children, not just within open life, inside church world, but in culture, inside our community. We should be a light to kids. We should be a very bright people, a joyful people that represent love and life. And it's our role to try to be as creative as possible with the means we have to paint as clear of an image of the love of God for kids as possible, whether they're in nursery, whether they're in preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, college, doesn't matter. The next generation needs to comprehend just how amazing God is. And so we have to consciously and creatively think of ways that we can make God very, very tangible in this generation so that students and kids can grow in their relationship with Jesus as well as us. And they're actually a huge blessing from God. So at Open Life, we consider it a blessing and a privilege to actually try to lean towards the next generation versus the older generation. We want to stay young. We want to actually, if we're going to drop on one side or the other, we want to drop on the side of young. We want to drop on the side of too loud. instead of not loud enough. We want to drop on the side of fun versus boring. We want to drop on the side of the next generation because children are a blessing from God, not a burden. So there's a few things you can pull out from Luke 18, and I want us to discover together that'll help us fill in our blanks and our crosswords. Jesus, number one, Jesus called the children to him. It's not hard to fill these blanks in, people. It's all right inside that passage in Luke. But anyway, Jesus called the children to him. My history is I was a youth pastor for 13 years before starting Open Life. So I've got a lot of youth pastor in me. We have four kids, two of which are with us today, Jocelyn and Jenna, my eight-year-olds, and then one's in preschool, one's in nursery today. So we have four kids. Our quiver is full. And so we said, that's a good amount. We'll be done now. And so that's all good. We love that. And four kids is a blast. I don't know why, but as soon as we had four kids, we always forget how many people we are when we go places. But the reason that we're all about the next generation is not because we have four kids or I was a youth pastor for 13 years. It's because God's all about the next generation. And I know it probably plays a part. I was getting my hair cut yesterday at the shop, free plug. It's a great place to get your hair cut. So I was at the shop getting my hair cut, and they were all dialoguing about just what people did in the place, you know, and I said I was a pastor of Open Life, and they start asking a bunch of different questions about, like, Open Life, I haven't heard of that, where is it, Victor Falls Elementary. They're like, you meet at a school, you start this whole conversation, and they're like, well, what's it like? And I was like, well, it's pretty youthful, and, you know, you're trying to describe the culture to them so that they get it, and I found myself saying, yeah, we're pretty young, maybe because I was a youth pastor for 13 years, but I really think the underlying reason is I wouldn't say to somebody cutting my hair because God told us to be young. That's just weird. I don't know why. And I don't want a mohawk at that moment. So I just say, you know, because we're youthful. And so that's a good way to describe us, I think. But God, that's not because of our feelings that we become youthful. I think if we guide what we do based off our emotions or our feelings, it can get us in trouble. But if we actually open up the Bible and allow that to guide us, then that's going to be a good thing. And in the Bible, God talks about the church being his house. And according to his word, he thinks it's pretty pleasing and amazing to build a church according to the next generation. Listen to Psalm 127 here. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Some of you need that passage right there, that last one. He grants sleep to those he loves. So you can sleep in now. You can go to bed. I'm just joking. Don't use that with your spouse if you don't wake up when the kid's hungry. I'm just saying it doesn't work well. Learned that from experience. So verse 3 says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Quiver being the basket that would hold the arrows for a warrior. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Isn't it good news? Isn't it amazing news that we need to view children right as this passage says? If we view them any differently than being a heritage from God, a reward from him, a blessing, they are blessings from God. Children are kids. Hear this today. You are a gift from God to the world we live in. This is what I tell my girls most every night, not as much now as I did when they were little, but I would whisper to them, you can be anything you want to be. You could do anything you want to do. You are beautiful. And the reason I tell them that is because it's true in Scripture. There's a plan and a purpose for every young person's life. And I want them to know they're beautiful because the world will tell them they're not. The world bullies us, doesn't it? I mean, we can get told things that just are absolutely not true. But it's good to hear from God that in his sight, we're a reward to the world we live in. We're a blessing to the world we live in. We are amazing. And so kids, you're amazing. You should know that. You're created in the image and likeness of God. I hear a quote that bothers me about the next generation. And I hear it from the church most often. And it's this. The church is just one generation away from extinction. How many have heard that said in either a book or a sermon? I'm all alone. Okay, anyway, you do. The church is only one generation away from extinction. We need to raise up the next generation. You know, it's in a moment of passion. Somebody will say that. But I heard Jesus say in Scripture in Matthew 16:18 in our Bibles, he says, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it, or hell will not overcome the fact that Jesus is building his church, right? Unless God builds the house, we labor in vain. God builds the house. It's our privilege to be a part of the journey, and I think God builds his house hugely with an emphasis on the next generation. God's in the business of building his church. We cannot stop that from happening. In fact, when the church is persecuted in our world today, the church grows faster. Even if it goes underground, even if it is kind of hard to find, God allows the church to grow. Just so happens that he puts a huge emphasis on children coming, children being a part of that, coming into faith at a young age so that things will not distract them or get them off course, if you will. Children, youth, young people are God's secret weapon for souls. They're God's secret weapon for souls. Children are God's secret weapon for souls because you could tell a child a principle from Scripture and they'll blindly follow that Scripture. Which is actually kind of scary, you know. The teachers and leaders definitely have to take their job seriously. And we honor our volunteers. I tell you what, we have amazing volunteers that serve our kids. And I don't have a week that goes by where one of my kids doesn't bring something up from what they learned here at Open Life. And they verbalize that. And you're just going, that is so cool that they caught that. That's huge. And then we as parents are able to reinforce it. They're a secret weapon of being able to drag their parents to church on a Sunday morning because they want to come and have fun. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Train a child in the way he should go. My parents held on to that passage as hope because it definitely appeared in my youth, like I definitely went a different way than what God would have me go, but they would continue to repeat that in their prayers over my life, and eventually, at the age of 21, I did make a decision to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and it spared my life from a lot more pain. I went through a lot, but it spared me from a lot worse. 2 Timothy 3:15 says this, from infancy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Seems clear that God wants kids to come to an understanding of Scripture at a young age. And it's very, we can understand in this passage that the Scripture leads to salvation. It leads to a future of pursuit in a relationship with Jesus. Training children is vital for reaching a generation with the gospel. We can't avoid that. We can't miss that. Which brings me to the second thought here that we could pull out of Luke 18. Jesus called his disciples to do two things. So he called the children to him, but he called the disciples to be a part of it in two different ways. The first way, let the little children come. So he said, come, you know, he called the children, but then he had to tell his disciples to let the children come. The disciples were rebuking the kids. They're like, get away. Don't burden Jesus with, you know, being touched by him or having his hands laid on you. And for some reason, they just kind of tried to chase the kids away. They thought the kids were a distraction. Seems easy enough, though, to just let the children come, doesn't it? But it's actually kind of hard. It's actually not that easy to let kids come. A recent movie that some of the people in this room maybe have seen, Tangled. I've referred to it before. Good movie. I like it. I like many of the different characters in it. But the movie depicts ultimately the scenario in this scripture. There's a young girl, daughter of the king and queen, this princess Rapunzel. And as a young age, she is exposed to this magic flower. I mean, this happens every day in our world today, you know, magic flowers and stuff. And her hair holds this power of healing. And this old lady who used to take advantage of this magic flower that brought healing, she used to stay young because of this. Mother Gothel is her name. She steals this little child and holds her captive, builds this big tower and holds her captive and keeps her away from her real family, pretends to be her real mother, and hinders her ultimately from experiencing life and takes her at a very young age, only to convince her every time she wants to get out of the tower or experience life that there's imminent danger out there, and she's doing her a favor by holding her captive. And instead of me trying to explain any more to you, why don't you just check out one of the scenes here from the movie.
Chores and sweep to the floors all clean. Polish and wax, do laundry and mop and shine up. Sweep again, and by then it's like 7:15. And so I clean up, or maybe two or three, I'll add a few new paintings to my gallery. I'll play guitar, paint it, and cook and bake basically. Just wonder why. It's puzzles and darts and baking, paper mache, a bit of ballet and chess, pottery and ventriloquy, candle making. Then I'll stretch, maybe sketch, take a climb, go and dress, and I'll reread the books if I have time to spare. I'll paint the walls some more, I'm sure there's room somewhere.
In that mirror, I see a strong, confident, beautiful young lady.
Oh, look, you're here too.
I met someone.
Yes, the wanted thief. I'm so proud.
So, as you know, tomorrow is a...
Blah, 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 blah.
You are not leaving this tower! Ever!
I'm not getting any younger down here.
You want me to be the bad guy? Fine, now I'm the bad guy. I'm just teasing. You're adorable. I love you so much, darling.
Oh, it's an entertaining movie. Actually, one of the better Disney movies that's come out. But ultimately, it's a picture of what happens in our world today. At a very young age, unless we're sowing truth into our kids and we're protecting our kids and keeping our kids safe, their attention can be stolen, and they can be locked away in a false image of who they are. They could be locked away in a world that is just not true to who they were created to be. They can miss their purpose and the plan God has for their life. It ultimately takes Flynn Rider, a thief, to steal Rapunzel ultimately and get her to the lights. And it's a happy ending. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend. Great movie, great movie. But we can sometimes find ourselves in a place that's disguised as freedom, but is actually separated from the desire of God for our lives. We have to search the Bible, find out who is Jesus, what is his plan for my life. And if we've yet to do that personally, we can be stuck in a tower. Yeah, maybe nothing bad's ever going to happen to us, but we're by no means experiencing the life to the full that God desires for us. The second part of what Jesus called the disciples to do, so he said, let the children come, but he also said, do not hinder them. Do not hinder them. We should let them come and not hinder them, children. We should, many well-meaning churches say that they'll let the next generation come, but everything about their culture is a hindrance. And I'm not bashing other churches. I love churches. But the reality is there are some that are designed for the next generation and some that just aren't. And we need to be real with who we are. The question I always want to be asking is, how can we as a church remove the hindrances that would keep our young people from coming to Jesus? Ephesians says this in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It exasperates the next generation when we say we're about them, but we don't invest in them as if we're family. We treat them as a hindrance or a burden, if you will, instead of the blessing and reward they are from God. And so I hope that that never comes across. I believe that this area of the church should never be lacking in volunteers. We should have to fight people off from serving the next generation because it's such a blessing. And so that's just one of my ultimate visions, is that people would be lining up to be a part of what God is doing in our children's lives. Remember, children are a reward, a blessing, and I believe as much as it blesses them for us to serve them, we're actually the ones that get blessed to serve. And Deuteronomy 6:5 through 9, we use this passage every time we dedicate a child to the Lord, a baby to the Lord. We practice dedication of children just as Jesus was laying his hands on children and blessing them. We practice that as well. And when somebody has a baby, and we dedicate them. And it says in Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. So this is a passage we challenge parents with. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's not just the role of the parent to impress the teachings in the Bible into the next generation, but it's the role of the church. It's the role of all of us. It takes a village to raise a child. So we all need to be a part of it. If we make church the only place to impact the next generation, we create a hindrance, though. So it goes beyond just impressing the truths upon kids, you know, in church. We got to get outside the walls. You may have noticed this week in the e-news, if you've been here before and you've given us your email, you get once a week a thing we call an e-news. So in your email, you may have got this thing that said, save the date. How many, okay, let's be real, don't fake now on me. How many of you actually read, I'm calling you out. How many of you read your e-news this week when it came in your email? You actually opened it in Reddit.
I love it.
I knew that. Okay, so anyway, we send out this email to you. It's probably now in your spam because you never open it. But anyway, we send it out telling you to save dates and stuff. We sent a couple important dates in August to you. And those dates were August 20th, Bonnie Lake Days. I'll tell you about that in a second. And then it was August 28th, which is our annual water baptism at the lake following our service on that day. We'll go over to Allen York Park and just have a party dunking whoever has yet to publicly declare their faith in Jesus through water baptism, so which we'll be talking more about. But the August 20th, Bonnie Lake Days, we do things to not just share and value the next generation here at Open Life, but we want to get outside the walls. So at Bonnie Lake Days this year, we'll have a booth. There's going to be hundreds of families coming through, doing all the gig there, and we're going to have a balloon artist there making little balloon deals for kids. And while families are there getting their balloon art, we get to be real and dialogue, just talk to families, hang out with them. And meet them, because ultimately, I don't know if you were this way before you ever came to church, but church can be weird in your brain before you ever show up, and you're like, I don't know what the people are going to be like there. What are they going to make me do, you know? Does the dude who talks wear a skirt or robe thing that's kind of a dress? That's weird, you know? I don't know if that's you, if you've been exposed to church before, but for me, who really didn't have a lot of exposure to church, church became something that I always was unsure of. And so what if the church would get outside the walls more and people could meet us more? And we value that at Open Life, being present in community. So August 20th, we'll be out at Allen York Park all day, and we'll give you opportunity to sign up and be a part of that if you want to come and serve a session there. But that's one way we get outside the walls. Another way that we break down the hindrances of the only place people are exposed to the love of God is churches, is we actually go out and invest in the community in ways. One of our strategic partners is Liberty Ridge Elementary, and we've had an opportunity to do various generous actions there that involve the love of God, but not in word. We can't just openly share Jesus with kids while we're there, or you know, whether we're reading with kids or serving on a playground or painting a shed or handing out Thanksgiving meals. We can't say, hey, we're doing this because Jesus loves you, you know, because then we would never be able to volunteer there again. But we can definitely demonstrate God's love in our action. And then it allows students that go to these schools to be able to fill in the gap, to fill in the blanks. Hey, that's my church. They're here to serve. I love my church, Open Life. And so we're able to do things. One of the things we're able to do that we've been given opportunity for here at the end of August is, well, we could start now, but ultimately it's doing a back-to-school supply drive for Liberty Ridge Elementary. Again, the reason we chose Liberty Ridge Elementary was they went from 13% free and assisted lunches and meals and stuff to 58% in just a couple year time. It was a pretty drastic shift. The Sumner School District, when we asked them, hey, who needs assistance here? They pointed us to that school. That was before we worshiped here at Victor Falls Elementary. And so we partnered with them, and I asked the principal there, I said, hey, what do you guys need come back to school? And she said, any school supplies help. She said her entire fourth grade class, like 60% of that class, is not able to afford any school supplies. We were like, wow. You know, that's just like a drastic. And school supplies could be really expensive, especially if you don't shop sales. And so luckily, and we talk about generosity here, and we just shared a whole message on it a couple weeks ago, but because we set aside 10% of everything you give in the offering at the end of the service, because we set aside 10%, we're able to have some money there to say yes to projects. And so we're already able to say to Liberty Ridge Elementary, here's the deal. We'll take care of every composition book, every binder, every piece of product like that that the kids need. We're going to take care of the fifth grade. They have to do like this $5 project report. We said, they don't have to pay the $5. We'll pay the $5. I said, and we're going to bring to our church the opportunity to engage as well above and beyond what we set aside every week and are already able to do. We'll allow you to go, and we're going to put a list out via the e-news, if you'll open it and read it. We're going to put a list out of school supplies that they need, and the school is going to have a barbecue on August 30th, and they said we can have two tables there, and we could just have a bunch of school supplies, and all those that need school supplies can harvest them, and we could really bless the school. I have some connections in the world we live in, and we're even trying to see if we can get backpacks and different things. I really want to freak them out with how generous we could be with this back-to-school deal. So watch your e-news, because there's different coupons that you can access that make some of these items that would cost them dollars, it could make them pennies. But you know, if you're a consumer, you can only go buy like two packages of ballpoint pens. But if a bunch of us go and buy ballpoint pens, it costs us a dollar for like 10 of us to do it, and we've bought all the ballpoint pens the school needs for the whole year. So watch your e-news, be a part of that project. That's another way that we can engage the community. There'll be more on that coming at you because that ultimately is not till August 30th that we're going to do that give. But that's all about loving God and loving people, and these students are people. Here's another thing that's a hindrance. It's just a weird thing. But as I was praying, God, what are hindrances that we need to solve? Size is a hindrance. We're at that awkward junior high phase of church. Not to insult the junior hires in the room, but just the reality of there's that middle school phase when you just kind of trip over yourself and you're discovering who you are. And as a church, you know, we're the average church size in America, about 80 any given week. But we're in kids ministry and stuff, you're at that awkward size where on any given Sunday, you may have like 6 kids, or you may have 12 kids, or you may have 2 kids. Depends on if people are camping or not. And so what matters to kids, especially like elementary realm, size matters to them. Like, it's a little weird to jump up and down, take it all, take, when there's 2 people looking at each other, you know, they're kind of like, take it all. It just changes the feel of the room. Our desire for kids' church is a kids' church, not a kids' class. And right now, it feels like a class. Our desire is to have a worship environment, maybe even growing to having live musicians someday. And wasn't it great to have a live band today? Kids here in the place, and usually they worship to a video, which is absolutely kind of fun though. And so they do this video worship, and the words are going across, a lot of movement, and they have video curriculum that's lots of fun. But the reality is we can't wait for that to grow in size, which breathes excitement. So we need to do our part in reaching out to kids in the community. We need to invite every kid we know to Open Life, which if you're anything like me, you can feel like a creeper, you know? One of my friends took a picture of a van on the freeway this week, and on the side of the van with duct tape, it said free candy. Now that's scary. If you have a van with no windows, don't put like, come to church with me on the side of it with duct tape, because that'd just be really odd. And kids are supposed to run from you. So I'm just saying, I would have taken the license plate of that vehicle and turned them in right there. Free candy. That was creepy. But I see kids engaged in worship, just fully like having a blast. I see kids with raised hands in the future. I see kids excited to hang out with their friends. And there's so many kids there that kids want to be there. I see kids mobilized into the schools, putting their faith into action, being able to share with their friends that their church painted the shed, as I mentioned earlier. Hey, my church is the one who just gave us all these school supplies. You should come on Sunday. I see them having a healthy pride in God and what he's doing through them and leading their parents to come to church on a more consistent basis. We just need to reach critical mass with them. Anyway, I'm excited about what the future holds. Finally, point three, Jesus challenges us to receive the kingdom of God like a little child. 1 Timothy 4:12 through 15 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." I've told students for over a decade that it's important for the church to see their progress. I love it when the church gets a chance to see our kids loving God. I'm going to invite my two daughters, my 8-year-olds, up. They're probably a little nervous about this. But I said, "I'll invite you up. Do you want a stool?" And they said, "Sure." And I invited them just so I could ask them a couple questions about their progress and what open life means to them and all that good stuff, just to create a little dialogue. But I think it's something powerful when we see young people initiating a relationship with God, and their example and how they do it so faithfully and obediently is something that we can learn from. So who wants to talk first and answer the first question? This is Jocelyn. This is Jenna. They look alike when Jocelyn's not wearing her glasses. So, what do you like most about Open Life, Jenna?
Worshiping.
You like worshiping? What about worship do you enjoy?
The videos.
You like the videos. They're pretty fun. Uh-huh. In fact, you will sit there with Mom and you'll tell her which videos you want to do for worship the next day, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of fun, being able to do that?
Yeah.
What do you enjoy the most about Open Life, Jocelyn?
The video we watch.
The video you watch about the Bible teaching?
Uh-huh.
What are some of the things you've learned that the Bible teaches us?
That Jesus is always with you.
Yeah. And where is he? He's in your heart?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What about you? What's one of the things you've learned that stands out to you?
What does "stands out to you" mean?
I love it. I always do that at home too, at bedtime. Like, what does that mean? I'd say, "Does it make a big impact on you?" And she's like, "What's an impact?" It's like, it's the youth ministry name that I used to do. Now, so what is something that you've learned from Open Life, the teaching on the video?
Same as Jocelyn.
Yeah. Okay, so what else would you want to tell them about Kids Church that you really enjoy? Anything that you're thinking of? Or why do you like to come to Open Life every week, besides worship, besides the video?
To learn more about Jesus.
To learn more about Jesus. They did something that actually really, really made my heart just go, "Oh, this is amazing." And it was when we handed out peeps. Remember handing out peeps for Easter? We went around and put them on the front porches of homes right around Victor Falls here. And you guys were so excited to come. Why were you excited to come?
Because I got to ride my scooter.
Exactly. We make it fun so that not only can those of us who are old do the work of the church, of really the labor of growing the church, but allow it to be fun so kids can come along. They had a blast that day. Did you have fun?
Uh-huh.
Were you tired when we were done?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But to me, it was so cool to have my kids saying, "Could we come with you and be a part?" I believe that's only God could do that. And stir a kid's heart to come and be a part of what their dad is doing. Here's some quotes I've heard from your little sister who's in preschool. One time I was talking to her. She was doing something like jumping on my back and it like really hurt for a moment. I said, "Be careful, you're going to kill me." And she pauses. She goes, "That's okay, Daddy. Because teacher Haley said that when they brought the man in on the mat and he was dead, that Jesus prayed for him and he came back to life. So if you die, I'll just pray for you and you'll come back to life," right? I was like, it's cool to know that a child can do that. I had like a a kidney stone or something going on, and I like dropped in my room one day. I was in massive pain, and Dana was at the bus stop taking these girls to the bus stop, and the only one home with me was Jaden, who's turns 4 this next week, and she was home with me, and I'm like hurting. I'm just writhing in pain, and I said, man, Mom might need to take me to the hospital. This is getting really painful, and it had gone on for like 20 minutes. And so she's like, she's getting ready, looking for Mommy to go tell Mommy that I'm not feeling good. And I'm laying in bed. I said, I forget what I was saying. I mean, have to go to the hospital. She says, Daddy, I'll pray for you because my prayer can help, right? She lays her hand on me in bed and prays for me, and literally the pain stopped. I never have had it since then. And I was like, this girl is amazing, you know? And it's what she learned at church. It's what she learned at church. Last night at dinner, what did she do? She's like, God is with us, or whatever. Just right in the middle of nowhere, you know? So just as loud as you can get. She just absolutely is progressing. And I mean, there's so many little moments. These girls pray things. Or just a couple mornings ago, Mom was in the hallway early in the morning because Preston had woke up, and she walks around the corner and she sees Jocelyn reading her Bible in her room. I mean, it's those moments. You know, she's pouring in things that are going to lay such a solid foundation for her life. And that's pretty exciting.
Then.
You were asleep?
Yeah.
You know what?
Then I got up and started, I think it was playing my DS.
Which is so much God wanting you to have fun, right? No, I'm just kidding. It is hilarious. I love it. So there's a pastor named Willie George of a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. On Father's Day, we showed the Dad's Life video. His church, he sent a tweet out a month ago that said this: over the years, we've built 600,000 square feet of buildings as a church through Church on the Move, which is the name of their church, in Dry Gulch, USA, which is a camp facility that they purchased. 80% of this space is exclusively for kids. Isn't that cool? And I believe that's scriptural. I think a successful church will do everything in their power to prioritize the next generation. I love Hillsong. I love what they've done in Australia. And I've noted this, and Brian Houston has said this. He'll always put a younger generation on the platform to be his key speakers because he just wants to pursue the next generation. And I believe the next generation is this generation. I believe that they don't have a potential in the future. I believe they have a potential now. And our girls, these two girls, got in trouble this year at school. Do you remember getting in trouble at school?
When
we gave you invitations to hand to people to come to church, they took the invitations and gave it to everybody in their little boxes at school. So everybody went home with these flyers for church, and it was awesome, but that they got in trouble with a good heart, right? And then when we did Love Week this year, do you remember Love Week after Valentine's? And you offered, what did you offer to do to your teacher? Do you remember? They offered to help in their classroom during lunch.
Yeah.
But their teacher said no. But they were trying to give volunteer hours. And so you just see what kids are able to do and how they're able to impact their friends and stuff. And so I asked my girls to close us in prayer today for the service, which they first said what?
No.
Yeah, exactly. And but then Jocelyn had this great idea. What was your great idea?
To write it on a paper.
That way you wouldn't like not know what to say. You'd have it written down. Do you have the piece of paper? You're going to go get it? Okay. So that she could be reminded of what she was going to... She came up with this stuff. She's like, what are some things I could pray? And she's brainstorming. She put a lot of time into closing us in prayer today. So do you want me to hold the mic while you close in prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want us to close our eyes and bow our heads or just keep our eyes open?
Bow your heads.
Bow our heads? Okay, we'll do that.
Lord, thank you for open life. Thank you for a church that believes in us.
Please help that we have many more good weeks at Open Life. Help our friends come and believe more in you, Lord. And please help the generation of our church grow. And everybody say, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can go back down. Way to go. Wasn't that bad, was it?